Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
Welcome into a brand new edition of the Bulls Talk Podcast presented by Coors Light. I'm Mark Schanowski, joined by Kendall Gill, and we're lucky enough to have Kelly Krull with us before she gets ready to break off pretty soon to cover the Cubs. It's almost baseball season, hard to believe. Starting on Thursday, how are you going to handle things for the interim when you got both things going at the same time?
Well, I'll say the off season goes a lot quicker when you don't have the off season. Yeah. And you're just right into basketball and right back. And, you know, it's only a couple weeks that it overlaps, and really the TV schedule plays out kindly for us, so I don't miss any on our air. And before we know it, with the Cubs starting on the road, then I'll get to hop in when they're home. So it works out almost perfect. And I am looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Because baseball's a sign up to, like, the spring is supposed to be on the way and summer's. And so, yeah, I get excited.
Well, for the Bulls, though, they're kind of limping to the finish line. Kendall, you've been through this as a player. When the injuries start to mount, guys start thinking about the off season, it's kind of hard to sustain that effort late in the year.
It is. But when you have young players that are trying to prove themselves, it really isn't that hard to sustain it because those guys are still playing hard. It becomes harder amongst the veterans that have been around a long time. If they're not going to the playoffs, then they kind of shut it down. But, you know, and that's why I'm somewhat, you know, surprised of some of the games that we've seen where there has been a letdown, because I didn't anticipate that, because you still have guys that are still trying to make their mark. You know, a lot of guys don't have a guaranteed spot on this team next year. And, you know, that is the reason why I think that, you know, the young guys should be playing hard.
You know, Kelly, before Saturday night's game, John Paxson met with the media, which is kind of unusual. Mm-hmm. He doesn't do that very often. I think he wanted to clarify some of the injuries. It also goes back to his comments both at the end of last season and media day, where he said this would not be a season for where we're playing for draft position. We're going to compete for 82 games. And I think he wanted to send a message not only to the fan base but to his players. I still want to see what we're going to be able to do over these last games. So I imagine from the front office perspective, they had to be a little bit disappointed the way the team came out against the Jazz.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, Paxson, I think, met with the media mainly to let everybody know what many were expecting anyway, and that Wendell Carter Jr. was shut down for the year, as is Chandler Hutchison. And that toe, Kendall, you have to talk about that. Toe injuries are so odd. You just don't know how you're going to really heal from those and how long it's going to take. And Chandler has never been out as long as something like this. He even referenced the three games he missed earlier in the season with the back, and he said, I'd never even miss three games like that. So I think it's really hard on young guys when they miss a season like that. He certainly tried to take some positives out of what he did learn and feeling like he belongs. But you're right, I still don't know that he knows what his identity is yet with this team, and I don't know that the team does yet, Mark, either. And that was kind of Paxson's point, is we still got to figure that out, and it's just really hard to do with the injuries the way that they've played out this season. And I think he really wanted the message to be heard that that's why they have not made the decision on Zach LaVine and or Otto Porter Jr. yet as to shutting them down. But I think there's probably a lot of people out there wondering why the organization just hasn't done that yet. And the window's closing as we look at the last however many games and 2.5 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
So,
well, I know you like what you saw from Chandler Hutchison, especially late when he was moved into a starting role because of all the injuries. He's got to work on his shots. He's got to try to develop three-point range, which is so crucial in today's game. But from a physical standpoint, he gives you that athletic wing, a good two-way player that you can use either in a – well, he won't start on this team, but he'd be a good reserve to come in.
He really does. And, you know, the thing about him is that he's young and he's aggressive being young. Sometimes as a young player to come in, you have to learn how to be aggressive. He was aggressive from the start by, you know, and by aggressive, I mean getting the basketball off of the glass, pushing it, not being afraid to try to make plays. That's something that you can't teach, you know, and he has that naturally. And his shot will come. His shot was actually improving before he got hurt, you know, knocking down the three-point shots. And the one thing, and we discussed this in the pregame show, Mark, is that the one thing that gives you confidence is the time on the court. And that's why I thought that it was so important that he be in the starting lineup, that you start building towards the future. He was doing so well. And unfortunately, like you just mentioned, Kelly, those toe injuries, whether it's turf toe, whether it's a sprained toe, whether you have a bad bunion. I can tell you, I had a bad bunion when I was young, and it really hurt the hell out of me. But, you know, having a toe fracture, I think, is even more painful than everything else, especially when you're an athlete that jumps a lot because you have to push off of your toes so much. So that's a real tricky injury. But, you know, he's going to come back next year. He's young. He's going to come back next year, and I think he'll be 100%. But, Mark, you know, you say he's not going to start. I don't think he'll start next year.
Right.
Because of Otto Porter. Maybe not even the year after that. But you never know. As a player with his type of athleticism, as they improve and as they get more hungry, you never know where he can end up in the starting lineup.
Never put a limit on how much a guy can improve.
Yeah, I wouldn't put a limit on him because he's a very talented young player.
Speaking of young guys, Wendell Carter Jr., it's kind of the out of sight, out of mind. He had the broken thumb, and he was out the rest of the season. But he's only 19 years old. And it was interesting, Kelly, early in the year, when the Bulls had a lot of guys out of the lineup, he became almost like a spokesman at 19. He was saying, we got to stop this, we got to play harder. And I think he's going to dedicate himself this summer to working as hard as he can to reclaim that starting spot and show what an important piece he can be to this rebuild.
I think you're absolutely right, Mark. And there was Wendell, and Kendall can, I'm sure, attest to this. Leaders are, they're natural. I mean, guys have it or they don't, I think, honestly. I think I've watched through the years of covering all kinds of different sports, guys who are kind of told they need to take on more of a leadership role, and they try, but sometimes it's just not the right fit. And with Wendell, his hardest thing is he is a leader, and he's a natural leader, but his hardest thing was, I'm only 19, and I'm the young guy on the team. What can I say? And you could see he was kind of walking that fine line, but yeah, when a few guys went down, I think he felt like he could speak up a little bit, and then this injury happens, and you do see it. I could see just from an emotional standpoint, it was a big setback for him. I mean, he was really disappointed. So I think that adds exactly to what you were saying, Mark. The motivation this offseason for him, I think he's going to really get after it and feel like he's got something to prove when he steps on the floor next year. And I do. I think the sky's the limit for him. And I liked being around him. The whole body of work, even just as the personality that I was getting to know from a young guy who is more mature beyond his years, I liked him a lot. So I look forward to seeing what next year looks like for him.
And Kayla, he's just scratching the surface of who he can be as an offensive player because he can shoot the jump hook with either hand, a nice touch from the mid-range. We saw him make a few threes at 19. Mm-hmm. It's exciting to think what he could be as an offensive player down the road.
Oh, absolutely. And next year, what is he supposed to be, a junior in college next year?
Yeah.
So, you know, the future is really bright for him. The way defensively he can meet guys at the rim and guard guys out on the perimeter. He's so versatile that he fits today's NBA center where they can do a little bit of everything. And, you know, I expect his range to increase next year. You know, he doesn't have three-point range yet, but eventually he just might get it. And, you know, with him playing off of Zach LaVine and Otto Porter can run the pick and roll. We don't know what the Bulls are going to do at point guard yet, but if they get a nice point guard in here that really knows how to run the pick and roll and utilize Wendell's skill set and the way that he breaks open for the basketball, he's going to have a great year next year. You know, and I keep saying this, the Bulls are really positioned well to make a huge leap next year.
Yeah, you've identified four young starters in year two of a rebuild, which a lot of teams take, you know, half a decade or more to do.
Exactly, and I think that the trade that Garn Pax made for Otto Porter was great. I did a ride along with Robin Lopez yesterday.
Yeah, what was that
And it was great. It was great, Robin. I tell you what, Robin is—he's the only player that I've done an interview with that wanted to stay and talk.
I know what you're saying.
He wanted to stay and talk. You know, I shook his hand like two or three times. He still didn't get out of the car.
He's a conversationalist. Yeah, that's for sure.
So we had a great conversation. conversation, and he was saying that when the trade was made for Otto Porter, and he says, I'm not taking anything away from Jabari or Bobby Portis, he said, but he just fit right in and made us all better. And, you know, that's why I feel that this team is on the right track, because they're getting guys that know how to play together. They're getting guys that know that like each other. Now, hopefully we get the first or second pick.
That'd be great. That would be great.
Pick one of those guys. We get a couple of free agents, and we keep saying this, Mark, and I think that we're a legitimate playoff team next year.
And that conversation with Robin Lopez will be coming on a pregame show very soon. So we will promote that heavily, and you'll see it on other digital platforms as well.
What do you think about his future here? How do you
Robin?
Guys? Yeah, I don't know if you talked about that on another podcast. I apologize.
But it's kind of up in the air. It depends on a lot of things, because, you know, this year he was making $14 million. I'm sure he doesn't expect to make that next season wherever he goes, but he's a proud veteran. This is his 11th year in the league. It's not like he's going to play for the minimum. So I think salary is going to matter. I think playing time is going to matter. We just raved about Wendell Carter Jr., who is the modern NBA big, who can switch on high screen and roll, who can guard smaller players in the perimeter. Robin's more of an old school guy. So the Bulls will have to weigh that, but I know they just really value, you can't even put it into words how much they value his leadership.
Yeah, I point blank asked them that yesterday.
I
said,
I hate to give anything away.
We can tease it, sure.
I asked him, and he said, listen, I really love it here in Chicago. I want to be a part of this team. Do I know my situation? Yes. He says, but just as long as I'm able to contribute, I am fine with coming back. And, you know, I told him, well, you know, the way that you've been playing in February and March, you made yourself really valuable. You might have priced yourself out of the Bulls. And he said, I'm aware of that. However, he said, I still really like the way that the things are starting to transform here, which tells me, Mark, he might take a little less money.
I know the organization loves him. The fans love him. So we'd love to see Rollo back if they can work it out.
Well, and as far as the chemistry, from my standpoint of being in that locker room all year, he's it when it comes to really – I mean, you want to say Zach's a veteran or Otto Porter Jr. is a veteran because they've been around for 5-6 years now in the league. No, Robin Lopez is a veteran.
Right.
And he's a guy, and that's not to say, you know, in this day and age it works so different, but they don't have any other one. He's a guy that guys can turn to, and he's like you, very easy to talk to, and his knowledge, and his demeanor. Yeah, I think they need to add another one of those kind of guys.
Yeah,
truthfully, I think
too.
It's great to have him. I'd really love to see them bring in whatever capacity it fits with the organization.
Right.
But I really think they need another voice like that. I do. Yeah. I remembered with the Thunder, Kendrick Perkins, when they brought him in, again a championship caliber player from Boston. But what he. Yeah, the way he dealt with those young guys and they're becoming stars of the Kevin Durants and Russell Westbrooks and James Harden, he kind of kept them in check as they grew, as we're going to see this team start.
You know,
to
I
grow.
Said this years ago on a show when Norm was with us about when young elephants go into musk and they start killing all the other animals around. Well, what they do is the parks, they bring in these other bull elephants to correct the young elephant.
And that's
what
you're
talking
about.
They bring in the bull. Yeah, they bring in the bull elephants to get the young elephants back in line, and the killing of all the other animals goes away.
So they need some bull elephants.
Exactly. Well, no, they don't have to run as fast or jump as high as the young elephants, but they have to be able to lay the law down.
Well, there's some guys that could qualify in that regard, guys like Patrick Beverley, Taj Gibson, who are accomplished players in the league, who if they say something, young guys are going to listen.
Something.
So
yeah.
We'll see what happens with that when come July 1. The other thing that was interesting, I thought, from Paxson's comments was, I don't know if he meant to say this, but he did say it, is that they may run out of time with trying to bring Otto Porter Jr. back. We thought it was just a shoulder bruise.
Yeah, I thought so too. Yeah.
Now they're, you know, they're saying it's the right rotator cuff strain. We don't know the severity, but Pax indicated he may not play again this season, and it's not because they're trying to maximize draft position or tank games. It's just he's hurt more than people were led to believe initially.
I think it was in that same breath. He kind of mentioned 3 or 4 different nagging injuries that I hadn't really heard about with Otto Porter Jr. The rotator cuff, we did hear that's a little more, it sounds like, serious than what we were led to believe a week ago even. But then he kind of mentioned a back, and at some point I think he even said something else. And I know it's that time of year. I know that no guy feels 100% out there. But, it sounds like there may be a combination of things that at this point they're thinking – I mean, if he's not 100%, why are we?
And same thing with Zach. They mentioned Pax said if the patella tendonitis doesn't get better, he might not play.
The window is closing quickly.
Yeah, and I can tell you from, because I had a rotator cuff injury, strained rotator cuff injury late in the season, and it really, you talk about a toe injury being tough to get over, try that rotator cuff. I mean, that is really tough. So if he has that, I wouldn't anticipate him being back at all.
Well, let's make the transition then to the upcoming NBA draft, because people are watching the NCAA tournament and discovering some of these guys we've been talking about all season long, particularly the young point guard from Murray State, Ja Morant, who I just noticed playing in a game in November, and I thought, this kid has the it factor.
Yeah, you were the first one. You built the bandwagon.
I tried to. It took a long time for people to jump on. But finally, after they beat a Marquette team that people in the Chicago area know all about, they're like, oh, maybe the kid is legit.
Yeah.
And then he scored 28 points as they got eliminated from the tournament by Florida State, but he got absolutely no help from his teammates. I think that the kid is going to have to get stronger.
Yeah.
He's going to have to be more consistent with his outside shooting, but a kid like who can get penetrate like that, who can finish at the rim, you know, I hate to say it, he reminds you of a young Derrick Rose.
Yeah, and the thing is, he can control a game, you know, and that's the one thing that I saw in the two games in the NCAA tournament, where he's able to control everything that his team does. That's what the Bulls need. That's very important. And you throw on top of that his explosiveness, his ability to get to the rim, you know, I really like him. I mean, if you don't get the number one pick, boy, he sure would be a nice consolation prize.
Yeah, people, his court vision, really, really incredible. And he I forgot the stat. I mean, I was watching it, but what was it? How many assists he had before however many points. And I thought to myself, and that's a guy that knows his role, and he's okay with doing whatever's working.
Yeah, he only took 9 shots in that first game when they just destroyed Marquette.
Yeah, and so, I mean, and it's funny, too, you think about, like, how far we've come. Like, now the articles are out about how much we're going to miss seeing him in the Sweet 16.
Right.
Because they've been eliminated, right? We went from who is this kid to now how much we're going to miss seeing this kid in, you know, one more game. But obviously it's just the beginning of what is going to be the next level for him.
And even with the comparisons to Derrick Rose and Westbrook, the thing that I think attracts the Bulls in particular is with all the young scorers they have, to bring in a guy who thinks pass first, wow, that'd be a perfect fit for
them. Yeah, who thinks pass first and who can deliver the passes the correct way, who can handle the basketball, who a guy that you can trust him with the basketball. You don't make mistakes at the end of the game. And on top of that, he can score. So, I mean, that's a pretty good combination to me. And that, but the one weakness is he does have to get strong.
Yeah.
I was going to say he's not built like Westbrook was and is. But at the same time, I mean, it's hard to compare programs and where UCLA and all that. But I didn't think in watching Russell Westbrook, I mean, he wasn't as poised and under control as what Morant is at this point.
I mean,
from a decision-making standpoint, I mean, that first year or two in the league was still really tough on Russell. I mean, he's clearly grown a lot. But so, yeah, Morant's really impressive to watch just already.
Yeah, I think initially he'll remind people of De'Aaron Fox, who made a big jump in his second year out of Kentucky, really leading Sacramento on that big improvement. Now, he's taller at 6'5", and I think he's a better shooter right now than Morant, but he had to learn to become a better shooter. He wasn't a great shooter coming out of Kentucky.
Oh, no, he wasn't. And, you know, what his key asset was is – pushing the basketball, putting pressure on your defense, playing with a lot of energy. That's why he outplayed Lonzo Ball when Kentucky faced UCLA. And I'm like, that's the best point guard in NCAA, not Lonzo Ball.
Yeah.
But and then he goes on to Sacramento. And as you said, Mark, last year didn't have a consistent jump shot. But now you can tell he worked so hard over the summer to make his jump shot better and during the season. I wouldn't be surprised if De'Aaron Fox is an all-star next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah, with that speed and that size and the fact that he's improved the shooting, he's got the complete package of offensive skills.
And at 6'5", I mean, that's
you know, we made the comparison to Derek, and that's not fair. It's not fair to compare Ja Morant to Westbrook either, because obviously you covered Russ. When you think about the body type of 19-year-old Westbrook and a 19-year-old Derek. Those guys are like NFL running backs. I mean, they came in ready to take
and
a pounding.
And they could have played that sport as well. Russell would have been tremendous. Guys in other sports, I hear him joke all the time. Wouldn't it be nice to have him as a receiver and lofted up to him? Yeah, I mean, you're right. Yeah, from a physical standpoint. And then and Russell got – I mean, obviously, he got even bigger and stronger than the next couple years and stuff. But from an explosiveness standpoint – definitely similarities, but you're right. The comparisons are a little. Let these guys be these guys, right? Sometimes we're so quick to want to compare them to someone else.
And the great thing about social media, when he had that two-handed dunk against Marquette over a big guy, people put it side by side with Derek dunking over Dragic.
I know. I mean, let the comparisons begin. I mean, I can't tell you how many guys got compared to Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. This is the next Jordan coming out. This is, you know, and sometimes.
Who were your comparisons? Do you remember?
They compared me to Jordan, which I hated.
Wow.
You know, and I didn't like it because, I mean, that's Michael Jordan. I mean, first of all, it's so hard to live up to. And I think a lot of people did that because I wore my wristband like Michael. But here's the thing. You know, the reason why I wore my wristband like that is because of Mark Aguirre at DePaul. Mm-hmm. Mark Aguirre was my all-time favorite college player. He wore his wristband like that. So I said, I want to be Mark Aguirre. So I guess – people didn't know that, and they said, oh, well, he wants to be like Jordan.
Did DePaul recruit you?
Oh, my God. They recruited me, Mark, and, you know, had they shown real serious interest, I would have gone to DePaul because I grew up a Blue Demons fan. But they gave me a very poor visit, you know, and I could tell the interest was not there. So, you know, I immediately eliminated them from my list.
What might have been? So many Chicago kids, quickly crossed the ball off their list.
Right now, is hearing this, our coach. Thinking, oh man, we missed out.
Yeah, it was. You know, I got the. I remember. I think the assistant coach's name was Pratt, and I went there and he showed me around and everything. It was just sort of like he was, like. You know, he was doing his duty. It's like he wasn't even interested, really. And I got to talk to Joey Meyer for a hot second, and that was it. And then I was like, oh, well, they don't really want me. So I was like, I'll take my talents on down to Champaign.
Yeah, the stories of recruiting, might have been.
In tennis is a totally different ball game, but clearly, I went through similar things. But then what was funny is, speaking of coming full circle, as the senior, I was the one who always had to host.
Imagine
that, the talker, the Kinchetti Cathy, like, Kelly, you show them around. Yeah, you know, you bring them around. Now, again, it's so different than basketball, of course, and the big-time athletes. But, yeah, the every program has its ways of doing things. So, yeah, exactly. I remember. I couldn't – if I heard someone say what you just said about a coach, I'd be in big trouble if I didn't show someone a good visit.
that visit was horrible.
Oh. Well, that's too bad.
It was too bad.
But it was fun watching you play. You play one of the most exciting college teams of all time in Champaign.
Yeah, it happened for a reason. I was supposed to be at Illinois, so that's why.
Yeah, with all Illinois kids, we've told the story that everybody on that team was Illinois born and bred, which was
born
exciting.
Born and bred, even the walk-ons. and the managers.
Ryan Baker.
That's right. Can I ask you guys a quick question? We had transitioned, and you kind of said something a minute ago that made me think of it. The guys are oftentimes being asked now, the last couple of days, what one thing is that they're going to look to improve on this offseason. If you really quickly just ran through, like, Markkanen, Levine, whatever, what would be the one thing you think you'd like to see each one try to add maybe in the offseason?
For Zach, and I want to show him a couple of things. I actually talked
you
to him.
You want to show?
Yeah, no. I want to show him a couple of things that he can use on the defensive end because the way that he shuffles his feet, I think he can be better. Particularly, there's two instances, one where he got beat from the top of the key by Kemba Walker in Charlotte a couple of months back. Just recently, the 76ers were here, and he could have stopped Jimmy Butler on the last drive had he used the technique that I used to use.
Okay.
I want to show him that. I also want to show him how to steal the basketball, how to average about two steals a game. That's what I think. If Zach makes that jump defensively, I think we're looking
at – got an all-star then.
I think he's an all-star, and I think we're looking at an all-NBA player. You know, for Lowry, I want to get him in the – I want to get him in the boxing gym, and I want to get him some more aggressiveness. Because right now, you know, and he had a great game against the Wizards. Washington Wizards, you know, but I want to see that type of effort every night.
Every night, yep.
I don't want to, you know, I want to see that consistency. I think that's what he needs to work on. For Otto Porter, I wouldn't do anything with Otto Porter. I just let Otto Porter be him.
Yeah,
because he plays great basketball right now. with
some of the young guys got to get him in the gym, make shots.
Chandler Hutchinson,
Chris Dunn,
1,000 shots a day.
They got to work on their shooting.
1,000 shots a day. Chris Dunn, same thing. With Wendell Carter, I just leave him alone.
I think I saw enough from him.
I just want him to just work on.
He needs to look for his offense because he caught the ball mid post a lot of times with nobody around him. And he would immediately just swing the ball. Yeah. He doesn't really look to score. And as a 19-year-old rookie, that's not surprising at all. But I think that's something that because he has that nice shooting touch, 15 to 18 feet, he can be a real weapon in that mid-post area.
He really can, and also extending his range a little bit. So, but I really like what I see with him. For Rolo, I said, keep spinning, baby. Keep doing that spin move. Because, I mean, that spin move has transformed his game.
Yeah,
if you should have done the ride along in January, you could have hit a patch of ice and spun all over the place, you know.
Right, exactly. And he said, I asked him, I was like, well, you know, how we were talking on the pre and post game show about you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, yes, you can. Rolo has proved that theory wrong. He said that the reason why he started doing the spin move is because of Zach LaVine. The way that he was coming off of the pick and roll and finding him, he said when Zach would find him, he'd find him right in a position where he could take one dribble and spin. And then he said he'd just start doing it, every time he got the basketball, and it worked. So he had a smirk on his face like, yeah. He's like, I'm going to average 25 next year. I don't know about that. But
that would be something to see,
yeah,
no question about
it. Face,
all right, before we get out of here, we are recording this on a Saturday night, so we haven't seen exactly who's going to be in the Sweet 16. But we made our picks last week. Have you changed or anybody caught your eye that thinking, oh, no, maybe I should have picked that team to win?
Not really, no. Yeah. I'm still my Final Four is Michigan, Michigan State, Tennessee, and North Carolina.
And Michigan looked good Saturday night
beating
Florida.
The Big Tens looked good. Mm-hmm. I've really, been impressed with all of them and stuff. Yeah, I was just going to say, and I didn't want to date the podcast, but Purdue's right now playing, and I'm trying to kind of keep an eye on them as well. But they were up pretty big, at least, you know. So, yeah, just in general, that's what I took away. And not to throw out a negative, but I kept thinking to myself, I just wish the teams around here were stronger so that, you know, the city could enjoy some of it too, you know.
Oh,
I mean, there's no reason Illinois shouldn't be great. And, you know, me being from Indiana, I look at what the Hoosiers are going through, and they still need to get their program back up. But I love when that conference is full of strong teams. We're seeing Michigan.
You know, the kid that backed out of his commitment to Illinois, I don't know if he backed out's the right way, but Talen Horton Tucker, he's being projected by some people as a first-round draft pick now.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's – you know, that's a guy we could have had.
Yeah, with Io.
But, it just wasn't meant to be. I wish the kid nothing but luck.
Right.
But, you know, I hear that Io's thinking about coming out.
Really?
Yeah.
I hope he doesn't.
I hope he doesn't, too. I think he definitely needs another year.
Yeah.
Yeah, he made a Big Ten all-freshman team. But, you know, I've seen so many guys come out before they're ready.
Right.
I don't want him to be one of those guys where you end up in the G League and you thinking, man, I should have stayed in college another year.
Yeah, like Kelly said, hopefully we get to see a revival of Chicago programs.
Yes.
You know, Northwestern had that great run in the NCAA tournament, and they kind of went backwards. And
Loyola, that was fun.
Yeah.
I mean, not Big Ten, I know, but, I mean. But it's just fun this time of year
when
there's teams that are, playing for something.
And, you know, it used to be a gimme. That all of we'd have at least three or four teams from the state of Illinois in the tournament. It used to be. But now it's tough. We only had one this year, right?
Well, maybe next year. Yeah. Bradley got taken out by Michigan State in the first round. But, you know, we can hope, and hopefully the coaches continue to work the recruiting trails hard, develop those relationships with the high schools and the AU programs and bring some of those talented kids, let them stay home in Chicago and the state of Illinois. I want to thank you both. It was a lot of fun talking Bulls and NCAA tournament, and we're dreaming of May 14th and getting the first or second pick. Hopefully either Zion Williamson or Ja Morant winds up in a Bulls uniform. That would be a huge jump into the offseason.
And you know, I didn't, not to cut you out, you guys have to come visit me at Wrigley, right?
Oh, yeah.
I know this isn't our last podcast yet or anything, but, like, I'll miss you guys. So you got to come, after the after the draft, it's perfect. It'll start warming up, and you guys will
come
out. We could see Zach LaVine with, Chris Bryant out there. I didn't know until we saw that little
friends clip
that he was a baseball guy.
Yeah.
So, hey, they're kind of looking for a center fielder, too. I don't know.
Zach can cover a lot of ground.
Sorry, Mark. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No,
I just
want
to say how much fun it's been with you.
Just
guys
getting ready to wrap things up and remind people, as always, you can find all of our podcasts at nbcsportschicago.com/podcast. You also can listen and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Google Play. So thanks for listening. We'll be coming at you again real soon.